Once again, we'll give each and every one a very warm welcome to the meeting and trust that it will be a blessing for all who are present with us. I want to read tonight in John's Gospel and chapter 11, the Gospel according to John and chapter 11. John's Gospel, chapter 11, and reading verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. I'm sure tonight the Lord will richly bless to us the reading from his own precious word. I believe that many reasons tonight could be given why John wrote his gospel. One of the main reasons for John writing his gospel was this, was in order that sinners might be saved. These things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. But I believe there's more sinners being saved through the gospel according to John than any other gospel. Now when you read this gospel, you keep many things before you. And for the sake of the young tonight, I want to say this. Keep three things before you as you read John's gospel. Number one, the glory of his person. Number two, the greatness of his power. And number three, the grace of his presence. And you know, those three things run right through John's gospel. Now let's think of John chapter 1. Think of the glory of his person. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. There's the glory of his person. Think of the greatness of his power. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that has been made. There's the greatness of his power. Think of the grace of his presence. The Word became flesh and tabernacled amongst us. And we could go through the gospel tonight, and you could think of the glory of his person, you could think of the greatness of his power, and you could think of the grace of his presence. There are four things to notice in John's gospel, and we're not going to touch them tonight, but we're going to mention them. There's the thought of life. Eternal life. Abundant life found in John's gospel. So there's the thought of life. There's the thought of liberty. The truth shall make you free, and ye shall be free indeed. Glorious liberty. There's the thought of light. And its marvelous light. And there's the thought of love. And its matchless love. And I want to think of love very briefly tonight in John's Gospel. Number one, you have God's love for the world. That lovely verse, John 3 and 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We sometimes sing those lovely words. God loved the world of sinners lost and ruined by the fall. And we have God's love for the world. Twice in John's Gospel we have the Father's love for the Son. The Father loveth the Son. and hath given all things into his hand, and we see the Father's love for the Son. We see the Son's love for the Father in John 14, that the world might know that I love the Father. Arise, let us go hence. You have the Lord's love for his own in John 13. Having loved his own that were in the world, he loved them unto the end. 5 times in John's Gospel you praise the disciple whom Jesus loved. And I come to my verse tonight. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Now the past 2 nights we've spoken about Bethel as a picture of the house of God. We've been looking at Bethel as a picture of the local assembly. And tonight we're going to look at Bethany. And we're going to think of it tonight as a picture of the local assembly. Now, I want us to think of our verse tonight. Have you ever noticed in the Bible, very often there are 3 names in the one verse? You've Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You've Moses, Miriam, and Aaron. You have Job, Daniel, and Noah. You have Peter, James, and John. You have the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And you have Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy. And you have Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. 3 names mentioned in the one verse. Let me say this tonight. If I had written the verse that we have read tonight, I certainly would not have written it in the order in which those names are given. Here's what I would have done, and perhaps you would have done. Now Jesus loved Lazarus and Mary and Martha. But what does God say? My thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. And here we find Martha first. And then we find Mary second. And we find Lazarus there. Now when I come to John chapter 12, I see a different order. I see Martha first. I see Lazarus second. And then I notice that Mary is third. Now let me say this tonight. If there had been no John 11, there would have been no John 12. What I do thou knowest not now. That's John 11. Thou shalt know hereafter. That's John 12. There's a time to weep. That's John chapter 11. There's a time to rejoice. That's John chapter 12. Now I've chosen tonight 3 simple things to consider as we think tonight of those 3 individuals. Number 1, we're going to speak about service as seen in Martha. to what it says about Martha in John 12. Martha served. And I'm going to speak tonight on service as seen in Martha. Then secondly, I'm going to speak about city as seen in Lazarus. Because we read those lovely words tonight about Lazarus. Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. And then thirdly, I'm going to speak about sacrifice as seen in Mary. Now get the picture tonight. Martha worked for Christ. Lazarus waited on Christ. And Mary worshipped Christ. So we're speaking tonight about service. And we're speaking tonight about sitting. And we're talking tonight about sacrifice. A young Christian, do you know tonight why you have been saved? You know, every Christian knows what they have been saved from. I love to quote those words. There is no condemnation. There is no hell for me. The torment and the fire mine eyes shall never see. And every Christian tonight knows what they have been saved from. But let me ask you a question. Does every Christian tonight know what they have been saved for? You know, I was taught three things as a young Christian, and I'm going to teach those three things tonight to this audience. Three things from 1 Corinthians 12. Number one, God never intended one man to do everything. God hates flourishing. God hates a one-man band. And in 1 Corinthians 12, I read a verse like this. The body is not one member, but many. So God never intended one man to do everything. Number two, God never intended every man to do the same thing. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? God never intended every man to do the same thing. But let me say this. God intended every one of us to do something. To one is given by the Spirit a word of knowledge, and to another a word of wisdom. But let me say this tonight, frankly. We can shun our responsibility, but we cannot shun the consequences of shunning our responsibility. Is your place a large place? Guard it with care. God put you there. Is your place a small place? Tend it with care. God put you there. I want to emphasize tonight, you and I have been saved in order that we might serve. Now, I'm thinking of Paul tonight writing to the Thessalonians. You know, as Paul writes to the Thessalonians, he brings before that young company two things.
Number one, what they have been saved from. You've been delivered from the wrath to come. God has not appointed you unto wrath. And in the Thessalonian epistle, Paul reminds those young Christians what they have been saved from. But I'm going to go from chapter 5 tonight to chapter 1. And I'm going to show you in every chapter, Paul brings before those young Christians what they have been saved for. Let's think of chapter 5. God has not appointed you unto wrath, but unto salvation through Him. Now what salvation is that in chapter 5? Now young Christian, keep this in mind. There's a salvation that is past. And there's a salvation that is present. And there's a salvation that is future. As to the past, I'm saved from the penalty of my sin. As to the present, I'm being saved from the power of sin. And as to the future, I'm going to be saved from the presence of sin altogether. You remember what Paul says in Romans 13? He says this, now is your salvation nearer than when you first believed. And I believe the salvation in 1 Thessalonians 5 is a salvation that is future, when we shall be saved from the presence of sin altogether. God has not appointed you unto wrath, but unto salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Come to chapter 4. This is the will of God. Even your sanctification, that ye abstain from fornication. And when I come to chapter 4, I discover this. Paul brings before those young Christians that they have been saved in order that they might live a clean, a holy, a sanctified, a pure Christian life. That's chapter 4. When I come to chapter 3, Paul writes this, saved to suffer. Let no man be moved by these afflictions, for hereunto were ye called, and they were saved to suffer. Do we not sometimes sing those words? It is the way the Master went. Should not the servant tread it still? His life was a life of service. His life was a life of suffering. And in chapter 3, they're saved to suffer. Chapter 2, they're saved in order that they might share the splendors of the glory of the kingdom. Listen to what he says in chapter 2. Walk worthy of God, who has called you into his kingdom and glory. I love these words tonight. Mid the splendors of the glory, which we hope ere long to share, Christ our head and we his members shall appear divinely fair. Now we come to chapter 1. They turn to God from idols.
to serve the living and the true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven. And in chapter 1, they're saved to serve.
Have you got the picture?
Saved to enjoy a salvation that is yet future, chapter 5. Saved to live a sanctified Christian life, chapter 4. Saved in order that they might suffer, chapter 3. Saved in order that they might enjoy the splendors of the glory of the kingdom, chapter 2. And saved in order that they might serve, chapter 1. They turn to God from idols, to serve the living and the true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven. I want to say three things tonight about service. Number one, I should be happy in the service of God. Now let me say three things tonight about happiness. You know, there's happiness linked with salvation. That's Psalm 32. Happy is the man whose iniquities is forgiven, whose sin is covered. There's a happiness linked with salvation, Psalm 32. You know, there's a happiness linked with separation. That's Psalm number 1. Blessed. Happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, standeth in the way of sinners, sitteth in the seat of the scornful. There's a happiness linked with separation. I come to 1 Kings chapter 10 tonight, and I notice there's a happiness linked with service. Happy are these thy men, and happy are these thy servants, which stand before thee continually. And I would say tonight, young Christian, be happy in the service of God. But secondly, very quickly, be humble in the service of God. You know that's Paul in Acts chapter 20. Listen tonight to what we read about Paul in Acts 20. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears. And I would suggest tonight not only to be happy in the service of God, but to be humble in the service of God. Thirdly, lastly, but not least, be holy in the service of God. What's the tragedy of the testimony? Carnal men and carnal women are seeking to handle holy things. And the teaching of the Old Testament and the teaching of the New Testament is this. Only holy men and only holy women have the right to handle holy things. And I say to you tonight, young Christian, be happy in God's service. Be humble in God's service. Be holy in God's service. You know, there's three men in the Bible, and they're linked with service. I've mentioned one Paul. And he served God with humility.
I'm thinking tonight of Daniel. You remember what the king said about Daniel? He said this.
The God whom thou servest continually.
I like the commendation of David in Acts chapter 13. And I would covet it tonight as a testimony.
Listen to what it says about David.
David served his own generation according to the will of God and then fell on sleep. Paul served God with humility. Daniel served God continually. And David served God according to the mind and the will of God. And I must leave it tonight, young Christian, but let me say this tonight. Serve God with joy and with gladness. Serve God in sincerity and in truth. Serve God with reverence and with godly fear. And here's Martha. And it says about Martha, Martha served. You know, she served in two chapters. Martha served in Luke chapter 10. But remember, she grumbled. Martha serves in John chapter 12, and she's marked by gratitude. So we leave it tonight, when we think of service, Martha was a woman that served. But very quickly, I want to think of Lazarus. And I want to notice what is said about Lazarus tonight. He was one of them that sat at the table with him. You remember the Lord Jesus when he was here on earth? He raised three people from the dead. Jairus' daughter. You the widow of Nain's son. And you Lazarus. I want to suggest tonight that those three people that the Lord Jesus raised from the dead, they gave evidence of life. Now just think of them. Think of Jairus' daughter. Not just what it says about her. She arose and walked. So she gave evidence of life by walking. You remember the widow of Nain's son? It says that he arose and he began to speak and he gave evidence by speaking. And here we've Lazarus tonight. And it says about Lazarus, he was one of them that sat at the table with him. And he gave evidence by sitting. Now let's face the question tonight. You and I were dead in trespasses and in sin. But in the light of Ephesians chapter 2, we were raised from the dead by the mighty power of God. Let me ask you a question tonight. Do you give evidence of divine life by walking? Do you give evidence of divine life by talking? Do you give evidence of divine life by sitting? How should we walk? We should walk in light towards God. We should walk in love towards one another. And we should walk in wisdom towards them that are without. How should we talk? Our speech should always be with grace, seasoned with salt. There should be no foolish jesting, no corrupt. No corrupt speech proceeding out of the mouth, but such as is good unto edifying. And we should sit. Now I want to say this tonight. There's a sitting in the Bible that is not of God. You remember Exodus 32? The people sat down to eat and to drink. There's a sitting that is not of God. You remember Psalm 137? By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. Let me say this tonight, beloved. In your Bible, there is a sitting that leads to denying. There is a sitting that leads to discouragement. There is a sitting that leads to death. And there is a sitting that leads to delight. And I'm going to prove that tonight from the Bible. Your mind already has went to Peter. You remember Peter in Luke chapter 22? He's sitting and he's warming himself at the world's fire. There are three fires in the life of Peter. There's a fire in Luke 22. There's a fire in John 21. And there's the cloven tongues of fire in Acts chapter 2. At the fire in Luke chapter 22, he denies Christ. At the fire in John chapter 21, he dines with Christ. And because of the fire in Acts chapter 2, he declares Christ. But in the life of Peter, there is a sitting that leads to denying. And if you sit with the world, in happy fellowship with them, like Peter, you'll deny your Lord. And then secondly, you know, there's a sitting that leads to discouragement. And your mind already has went to 1 Kings chapter 19, and you're thinking of the man of God, Elijah. I see three things about Elijah. In 1 Kings chapter 17, I see Elijah's testing. And he comes through the test
in 1 Kings 17.
In 1 Kings chapter 18, I see Elijah's triumph.
But in 1 Kings chapter 19, I see Elijah's tragedy.
Get the picture tonight of Elijah? He's sitting under the juniper tree. Listen tonight to the voice of God. What doest thou here, Elijah? Listen tonight to the words of Elijah. I know better than my fathers. It is better for me to die than to live. Elijah's discontented, and Elijah's distressed, and Elijah's discouraged in 1 Kings chapter 19. When I come to 2 Kings chapter 7, I see a sitting that will land in death. Listen tonight to the words of the four leprous men. Why sit we here until we die? Abbot, turn the coin tonight and come with me in thought to Song of Songs chapter 2, and I read a verse like this. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. The man I almost knew tonight, he's now in heaven. I could hear his voice tonight say this. We live our lives the wrong way round. Christ lived with God and he visited men. We live with men and we visit God. And I'm going to challenge this audience tonight with these words. When last did you sit in the privacy of your own room and your soul was fed through communion with Christ? A man lost his wife and he only had one daughter. That daughter was a great help to her father as they spent long hours together in each other's company. You know, after a few months, things changed. Everything was ready for the father. And when all the supper dishes were put away, the daughter used to leave her father and go upstairs. And that happened for a few months. One morning she came down, it was her father's birthday, and she presented to her father a gift. And it was a lovely sweater that she had been knitting upstairs. The father looked at the daughter, and then he looked at the sweater and he said something like this. Daughter, that's a lovely sweater, but what a cost. The daughter was horrified, looked at her father. Turning to her father, she said these words, Father, That sweater never cost you a cent. Again he looked at the sweater, and again he looked at the daughter, and he repeated the same words with these words added. Daughter, it's a lovely sweater, but what a cost. It cost me many a lonely hour. Have you got it? She was occupied for him at the expense of being occupied with him. Right here, at the judgment seat of Christ, I speak to my own soul tonight as I speak to you. Will it be possible that at the judgment seat of Christ, we'll suffer loss because we've been occupied for him at the expense of being occupied with him? And I leave it with you tonight. Lazarus. Let me say this very quickly. Joseph had a chamber where he could weep. Elisha had a chamber where he could rest. Daniel had a chamber where he could pray. The Lord teaches in Matthew chapter 6, when thou prayest, enter into thine inner chamber, having shut the door, my Father which seeth thee in secret shall reward thee openly. Let me say this tonight very clearly. If you're going to be anything for God in public, you'll need to know something of God in the privacy of your own chamber. Lazarus. I'm thinking tonight of Mary. I'm going to think of Mary's sacrifice tonight, and I want to think about it in a threefold way. Number one, it was a sacrifice that was costly. And we're going to think tonight of the cost of Mary's sacrifice. It was a sacrifice that was costly. Number two, it was a sacrifice that was criticized. And we're going to see tonight that Mary, she's always at the Lord's feet. In Luke 10, she's at the Lord's feet as a learner. She knows him as a prophet. In John 11, she's at the Lord's feet as a mourner, and she knows him as a priest. And in John chapter 12, she's at the Lord's feet as a worshipper, and she knows him as a king. But she's always criticized. And then thirdly, we're going to notice she's a woman that gets the commendation of Christ. Now let's think of those three things tonight very quickly. the sacrifice was costly. Now what was the cost? I read one gospel, it says it could have been sold for much. I read another gospel, it says it could have been sold for more than 300 pence. I read the gospel we have read from tonight, John chapter 12. And it says it could have been sold for 300 pence. And we're left without a shadow of a doubt. Here was a sacrifice. And it was a sacrifice that was costly. Will you listen tonight to the words of David? Shall I offer unto the Lord that which cost me nothing? Did you ever think of Genesis 22? God does not want Isaac's life in Genesis 22. God wants Abraham's love. And the truth of Genesis 22 is this. Abraham has a greater love for God than he has for his own son, Isaac. And as I think of this sacrifice tonight, it was a sacrifice that was costly. I wonder tonight, beloved, when you and I worship God, when you and I sacrifice to God, what we sacrifice, is it costly? But secondly, very quickly, the most criticized woman in the Bible is Mary. In Luke's Gospel chapter 10, she's criticized by Martha. You remember what Martha said about Mary? Lord, my sister has left me to serve alone. Bid her to help me. And she's criticized by Martha in Luke chapter 10. When I come to Matthew 26, and when I come to Mark 14, she's criticized by the disciples. Listen to what they say. Why this waste? And she's criticized by the disciples in Matthew 26, and in Mark chapter 14. When I come to John chapter 12, she's criticized by Judas. Could not this ointment be sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Not that he cared for the poor. So you've got the picture. She's criticized by Martha. Look there. She's criticized by the disciples. Matthew 26. Mark chapter 14. And she's criticized by Judas in John's Gospel chapter 12. What's the important thing in life? Not what you think about yourself. Not what men think about you. Not what your brethren think about you. Listen tonight to the words of the hymn writer. What matters else?
since God approves. None can distract, none can deter. Obediently he onward moves, the cross to reach and triumph there.
I want you to notice tonight the commendation of Christ as he speaks about Mary. Listen to what he says about her. Go and talk tonight to Luke 10.
Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her.
Go to Matthew 26, Mark 14. She hath wrought a good work in me. She hath done what she could.
Come to John's Gospel, chapter 12. Against the day of my burying, as she said,
Martha, she worked for Christ. Lazarus, he waited on Christ.
Mary, she worshipped Christ. And I want you to get this. In Leviticus chapter 2, I read about a handful. His handful.
According to the revised reading in Psalm 45, I read about a heartful.
My heart overfloweth with goodly matter.
I will speak of the things which I have made touching the king.
When I come to John chapter 12, it's a household. For the odor of the ointment, it fills the house. Our Father, we thank thee tonight for the reading of thy precious word. And we thank thee for individuals tonight in thy holy word. Left our God, we believe, as an example, in order, our God, that we might follow in their steps. Save us, our God, from being like the slothful man, who roasted not that which he took in hunting. Save us, our Father, from being like the man, who beholdeth his face in a mirror, and goeth away and forgetteth what manner of person he ought to be. We pray, our God, that we might not only be knowers of thy word, hearers of thy word, but doers of the same, as we ask those things and offer our thanks in the Lord Jesus' worthy and precious name. Amen. We sing just the first and the last verse of hymn number 262. The cloudless day is nearing when thou, O Lord, will come. Thy radiant beauty wearing to take thy people home. Bright host on host around thee shall catch thy living rays, and all who once have found thee breathe out new songs of praise. Just the first and the last verse of hymn number 262.